This podcast is brought to you in partnership with Speak Studios and Speak Boise. Speak Boise is a community-driven studio space where voices from all walks of life can speak and be heard. You can find them on Instagram and Facebook at Speak Studios, Speak Boise, and at their website, speakstudios.com. Speak Studios. Speak and be heard. This podcast is also brought to you by Instant Imprints. Promote better with Instant Imprints. Instant Imprints are Boise's visual communications experts and your place for everything you need to promote your business, club, school, or group. As a locally owned business, Instant Imprints specializes in making your organization more visible with custom branded apparel, embroidery, promotional items, print services, and wide format printing for signs, as well as banners and vehicle graphics. Want better ways to get noticed? You better visit Instant Imprints at instantimprints.com/Boise or call 208-IMPRINT. That is 208-467-7468.
It's your girl, Christina. This is Overheard at Yoga. So let's crank up the heat and get down, dog. Welcome back to Overheard at Yoga. I'm so excited today. I've got an amazing woman here. I don't even know how to introduce her. She's so wonderful. This is Genevieve Nutting. Thank you for joining me. How are you?
Oh gosh, thank you for having me. I'm so well. I've been looking forward to this since we scheduled it, 3 weeks ago?
Yeah. Can you please introduce yourself to everybody?
Yes, I would love to. So I'm Genevieve. I'm here from the Treasure Valley. I am the founder of Women's Community, which has been like my pride and my joy. It's a women's nonprofit that empowers women through mindfulness, through movement and community. And then also you and I know each other from the fitness industry.
Yes.
So I'm a fitness coach in various forms, but yoga and cycle are my two main gigs.
I was thinking about you on the way here, and I don't remember exactly the first time we met, but I remember my first experience with you, and it was when you were teaching a class at Halo Hot Yoga, which used to be Lahatsa Yoga, and then it was a Yoga 6, and then it was... Oh, then it was Essential, and then it was a Yoga 6, and now I think it's in transition right now. But it was a Meridian, and you were teaching like an audition class, or was it your teacher training graduation? I think it was an audition class. But you did a fantastic job.
Oh,
I was blown away by how wonderful you were. But I was so surprised at the end because you were in... What were you wearing? You were wearing like a crutch. It was like a peg leg.
Oh my gosh.
You had a
yes.
peg leg crutches thing. And at the end of our hot class, we would pass out these cold lavender towels. And we had like 25 plus people in the room.
Yeah.
And it was a huge room. And I was planning on getting up and passing them out for you. But you had like gone ahead of time and pulled them out, and you were as quietly as could be peg legging through the room, like passing out these cold towels. Simultaneously, you're sharing this really positive message, and it was like nothing. And I thought to myself, who is Genevieve?
Oh my
She's
gosh,
amazing.
You're so funny.
She's in this little peg leg, but nothing can stop her. Just passing out.
That's so funny. I remember because my audition was the day I broke my foot. And it was at Halo. I was teaching, and then I had to go teach cycle afterwards.
Mm.
And I was running down my stairs to go from, I just taught my audition. I was so excited. I was so nervous, right? Because Sally was in my class, and just all you want to make such a good first impression. And anyways, all that energy is going through. So no good story to breaking my foot, just running down the stairs.
Because you're so excited to go teach.
I was so excited to go teach. I love my job. And so taught with a broken foot.
Oh my gosh.
I was so dumb. And then, I had a peg leg. So as I was teaching in a hot yoga studio, so the floors are slick.
Oh gosh. I
remember that class. It's funny because I was so nervous. I'm like, I'm going to slide. I'm going to break my other foot. But, thank you for your kind words about that.
I was just like, oh, she doesn't need me to get them out of the fridge that's in the back room behind the studio. And she doesn't need me to pass them out because she's one step at a time, leaning over, passing them out.
Oh, gosh.
So quiet. You wouldn't even know you had a peg leg.
You're so very kind. Thank you. Oh, my gosh.
I think maybe I was just like opening or checking in class for you or something. So I was like,
oh, I don't know. I miss that space, though. I just have like you and Megan and all the instructors. It's, you know, with the sign in Hollywood that happiness is spoken here. Mm-hmm. I've never been in a space. I mean, Cycle Bar, like my love, my heart is there. But I've never been in a space where truly, like, the moment you step in, you feel it. Like, you almost, like, just walk into a bubble.
Yeah.
You know? It's just, it's a really unique place.
I think that's what's so special about yoga studios is they intentionally create a sacred space.
Yeah.
And most hot studios don't allow talking in the room because they specifically set it up for meditation. So no talking, and then no shoes are allowed. So so having those little preset rules, like this is for meditation, no talking, no shoes, it keeps the space energetically clean and set up for that intention. So having an intentional space, there's just something magical that you can feel when you step in. I think the first time I went and got acupuncture, I had never done it before. And I walked into the space and it reminded me of going to a yoga studio because the space felt really intentional and really healing. Mm. So I like that.
Me too. I'm a big acupuncturist fan. I think it's what got me through last year.
Oh, really?
That and a number of other things. But you're right. Like how you set up your space and the people in it. Mm-hmm. So crucial to be intentional with.
My first acupuncture treatment was interesting too. It was through Yoga for Everybody, and Lynn Dot owns it. And she did our teacher training. Actually, she even taught yin yoga for us for a while. And it was really cool because every time she would teach, she would talk about how acupuncture and yin yoga are connected with Chinese medicine and all the energy lines in the body. And she just gave you so much information. So I went to her. And I don't even think she was there that day. I got one of her other staff members. Yeah. But they looked at my tongue. They read my tongue. I had a cold, which is why I went. This is before you had to stay home if you had a cold. I was like, I'm sick. I'm going to go out and see if she can help me. So I go there. They read my tongue. They prescribe me some Chinese vegetables and herbs and tell me where I can purchase them. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to go to the market after this. I've got my list. Yeah. And then they did the acupuncture on me and it was so relaxing. And I love that you can do yin yoga, which triggers like the same meridian line. So if you're not into needles, go to yin yoga.
Yeah, so beneficial.
Mm-hmm. Have you, I'm really curious how you got into yoga because I know you're in the fitness field and you're a cycle star.
Yeah.
But how did you get into yoga specifically?
Yeah, so I got into it in college. I was taking hot yoga over, I think it was called Sumits at the time.
Yeah.
And at that time I was going to school full time, had a job, was competing in the Miss Idaho, Miss America organization.
Yes.
And so my days were just like packed from the minute I woke up to the minute I went to bed. And so I needed something for me and something specifically where I could go in there. And because my focus so often was on other people and doing service and, you know, yoga is a great time where you can be communal, but be selfish as well.
Okay.
And I loved that. And I remember my specific class actually where I was in the class and lying down and I was probably like, I don't know, maybe 20 or 19. And I thought to myself, this would be the best job to have. Like this would be so cool, right? And then flash forward, I moved to New York, started working for a women's health magazine. And got back into yoga there. And just that was a time in my life where nothing felt linear. And I've learned since then that that's just life. Like life isn't linear.
Okay, is it life, but it also New York life?
Oh,
Where in New York were you?
I was in the heart of New York, Upper West Side, and I moved down into Central Manhattan. So when I left New York, I was two blocks from Times Square. So like in the heart where it's, you know, the hustle of tourism, also the hustle of the corporate life, you know, you're not that far from Wall Street. And again, my days were first person in the office, last person to leave, coming in on the weekends. I was basically the assistant, you know, I'd gone through a couple different stages of this, but when I finally got a job in there, I was the assistant to the publisher. So then you're also a little bit of their personal assistant with their home life.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, gosh. And so at that time, you know, you really need something for you. So I kept doing yoga and then realized, you know, New York was such a crucial point for me to identify what I wanted in my life and what I didn't. And that corporate world, I just remember sitting there one day like, this is not, like, this isn't why I got into the health industry.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And a girl who was working with me, who was also an assistant, she said she was going through a training with Yoga Works. And okay. I was like, that's so cool. And Yoga Works, I can't remember if they're based out of New York or LA, but she said there's actually some that are, you know, you can go to a destination. And I'm thinking, okay, if I'm going to do this at this point in my life, because I'm getting ready to quit my dream job, I have no idea what I'm going to do. And so I got a job waiting tables, had no experience, had to make up a resume to even get the job.
Tell me about making up a resume to go from working for Women's Health Magazine in New York City to I'm going to fake my resume for a serving position. Oh,
and I never thought I would do this, right? And yeah, my girlfriend had taught, or she'd worked at Justin Timberlake's restaurant down the street. And she said, I can get you a job, but I think we're going to have to revamp your resume.
Okay.
And so I'm putting down, I'm so glad none of these restaurants got called. I'm putting down legit restaurants in Boise. So like Bitter Creek.
Yeah.
I can't remember what else, but I remember that one being one. And then putting like my friends' names down as references. This is so awful. And I give it to them and they didn't call them, you know, in that industry, there's such a high turnover anyway. So they'll just, you know, as long as like your background check goes through and they see you have experience. But the first night I got put out on the floor, my trainer said, you've never waited tables before, have you? And I'm like,
there was no hiding it.
Oh, there's no hiding. I was trying to carry water and I was so awkward. And I go, no, I've done this. He goes, no, you haven't. He goes, if you mess up, it's on me. So if you mess up tonight, you're gone. And I made it, but it was a lot of pressure, but it got me, you know, you make a lot of money doing it. It's a lot of long hours, but I got to save up money to go to Bali and get my yoga cert and travel. Yeah. So it was, everything works out the way it's supposed to, right?
I have a feeling that you work well under pressure.
Very. I'm a big procrastinator.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're like, wait till the pressure's on and then I'll get it
that's
done.
That's exactly it.
My mom used to always say to me, she said, if it weren't for the last minute, nothing would get done.
Totally.
So she was totally fine when I would procrastinate on my homework. She'd be like, well, you'll get it done.
At least you got it done. You're a big procrastinator too then.
Huge. Yeah. But I don't necessarily think I work well under pressure. So I just like, I don't know why I do it. I just like to punish myself.
Do you like the adrenaline rush behind it? Are you
maybe
an adrenaline?
That's it, because I know if I just start it, then it will flow
totally.
And it took me, I don't even know how long it took me. It took me like, I guess, not even college, because I was having way too much fun in college. After college, to realize, okay, just like little pieces. And I think my neighbor had given me really good advice that I had taken to heart for my life. So I would always procrastinate yard work. And my next door neighbor was a sweet woman who's retired. She reminded me of my grandmother. I think she was like early 70s. And I would see her out doing yard work nearly every day. And I'm just like, I can't get this done. It's always piling up. And she's like, honey, just 15 minutes every day. That's all I do. That's it. I'm just out here 15 minutes every day. That's it. I was like, oh, so then I started on my projects at work. I'm like, well, I'll just do 15 minutes to start it. And then the next day I'll like add on. And that helped me get a little bit more organized. But truly, I just live off of sticky notes. That's really how I get it done. Oh, and my reminders in my phone. I can barely use the calendar app in my phone, but I know how to use reminders. Totally. So I'm setting alarms all the time.
It's the best way. I am the same way. It's like when it sends you that reminder of like you have 15 minutes to get here. Right? It'll take you 13 minutes. You need to leave now. Like, that's what I live for.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that helps me a lot. Okay. So you were living in New York. You decide to quit your dream job and start serving and go to Bali. Where were you doing yoga in New York? Were you doing hot yoga in New York?
Yeah. So it was called yoga for the people or yoga to the people. And it was so, and I think you've taken classes when you've, And so they're pop-up places just in like little closet spaces in New York. And there's so much personality to them. And you have all walks of life in class. And they're just the coolest. Mm-hmm. Like, you meet the coolest people in those classes. I also worked for Equinox at the in between. Ooh. So I started off interning with Women's Health. Yeah, worked for Equinox in between and then worked for Women's Health. And so in the in-between time, and also with Women's Health, you had the opportunity to go to these like really world-renowned yoga studios and take classes with like really big names. And I remember I took one with Pure Yoga.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting because I tried to use one of the formats when I moved home to teach it, because it was like resistance bands and like what you guys do with strength.
Sculpt.
Yes. But nobody in Boise was, it was almost like it was too soon. Because yeah. I auditioned, I think, for one of the gyms here trying to teach that. And they're like, that'll never go over. And then you start seeing it everywhere.
Oh my
but
gosh.
Yeah, so you're just exposed to some really cool ideas.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
When did you move back to Boise?
I moved back in, I want to say 2014 or 15. So only after a couple years there.
How did you, so you're from here.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Were you Miss Idaho?
Yes.
You were Miss Idaho, yeah. What year, 2011?
2011, so I was Miss Idaho, and then as soon as I gave up my crown, I, 6 months later, was like, I'm out, I need to leave. Went to New York.
Big city.
Yeah, I'd never been there, didn't even know who I was moving in with, didn't have a promised job, packed up all of my life. Like, I was committed to the idea that that was my new lifestyle.
Oh my god!
Like
gosh.
Everything, my notes from like sixth grade friends I packed up. Like,
cute.
Which I don't know why I still had those. When I moved home, purged so much. It was so cleansing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
When did you start Women S?
That we started October 2019.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And what led you to start it and to name it Women S? I love the name.
Thank you. Me too. It's... I like to think that I started it back in high school, really, like the idea of it. So I was a Girl Scout. Mm-hmm. I earned my gold award doing self-esteem workshops for girls.
Oh, love
so
it.
Already like talking about the idea of self-esteem, faith within self, confidence within self, mindfulness, taking care of who we are. And then just feel very fortunate. And I'm sure like we can talk more about this together, in that, you know, growing up, you really identify with those strong female role models. And I felt really fortunate that with Girl Scouts and Miss Idaho and just the lifestyle I lived, my mom was a very, very strong female. Mm-hmm. And she surrounded herself with the same strong kind of female role models. And so when I came home from Bali, moved home, really was very lost, like very just wondering where I was going to go, what I was going to do. I wasn't doing anything with my degree. Mm. I felt like here I'd moved from New York. I'm coming back home. And at the time, like, it was very humbling because I'm meeting, I'm running into people. And I remember I ran into a guy I went to high school with. And he's like, wow, you moved home. Like, what are you going to do with your life now? Like,
whoa.
Almost making it sound. And he said some really hurtful things, but and it stuck with me for a while. But I got back into personal training because I really cared. That was the whole thing that I found out in New York, is I really cared about creating a space where individuals could feel empowered in their bodies as they were, mm-hmm. but then seek the tools and resources to better themselves in whatever ways they identify. I think in the magazine industry and in the media, so often what we hear and what we see is from the advertiser's perspective.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so that's where, when I came home, I just tried to connect as much as I could with those people who really helped and support me. So JP, who you know, he was a big, big advocate for me when I was competing in Miss Idaho. And so when I came home, he was actually someone I'd stayed in contact with in New York. And I said, hey, if you're going to hire a personal trainer, what kind of certification are you looking for? So I'd already had that conversation with him, ended up working for him at Gold's, which turns into Axiom. And then within that, started
to work
for Cycle Bar.
I didn't realize you guys had known each other like through that timeline.
Yeah,
he's been friends for a while. I knew about him when he started Cycle Bar, but I had heard that did he run Gold's, manage it, or own it?
He owned it, yeah.
He owned it, okay. And then I think I knew one of the managers and I just kind of vaguely knew him.
He just was great, and he... I know this is like a long story, but getting to it.
Sorry, I'm always like asking random questions when people are trying to tell a story.
Oh, no, you're so good. And that's where I'm like, it's not linear, because I feel like I was like here and then all of a sudden I was at point B and then all of a sudden I'd backstep. But
I'm going to cut you off one more time.
Yeah.
So I'm also curious about how your yoga teacher training in Bali before you moved home, like, and then how did that play a role in when you're like, I'm a little bit lost. I'm embarrassed running into somebody from high school.
Yeah.
I'm going to get back into personal training.
That's a great question. Mm-hmm. And this is where I think I skipped a part of that story, is that I realized I wanted to move home because I started to get into meditation in Bali.
Oh.
Right? And meditation is powerful. If you have a consistent meditation practice, or even if you're just getting into it, you've probably had a meditation where like you visualize some really wild things, mm-hmm. right? And so I'd had a meditation where you were meditating, viewing yourself on a mountaintop, and there was like gold light radiating within you and coming out of you. And it was, I had never experienced anything like this. It was very out of body. And all of a sudden I just realized, like, I'm not supposed to move back to New York.
Ooh.
Like, I'm not supposed to do this. I'm meant to continue to travel for a while. So I did. And I told my boyfriend at the time, who's now my husband, like, I'm coming home. I'm not supposed to be in New York. And so we actually got engaged in Europe and then moved home. And so that's where yoga came into play, as far as like really helping me center myself into where I felt like my purpose and my where I was supposed to be, but mm-hmm. not really knowing how I was going to live that out. So again, empowering people, empowering females specifically. Mm-hmm. And then JP, mm-hmm. Reconnected with him, worked for his gym. And then when he was getting ready to leave Axiom, he asked me if I would meet him at Starbucks, and we sat down and he said, hey, I'm opening up this place. I want you to join our team. You'd be a cycle star. I'm like, what in the world is a cycle star? And teaching cycling, I'd never seen myself doing.
Okay.
And now
That's so funny.
Isn't it funny? Because now I can't see a life without it.
I think what's kind of interesting about your story, if I want to parallel it to mine, is you say that your life was so busy, you would schedule time for yoga, and you had this like idea, like, what a cool job this would be. Whereas when I would go to yoga classes, I really looked up to my yoga instructors, but they were also like so far out of reach that I never imagined that I would be a yoga instructor, which now I realize we're all just regular people.
Totally.
And so cycling has become a huge thing in your life, huge, amazing community. Mm-hmm. And you never even had that thought.
No,
and
I never had didn't that thought like about cycle yoga. Class. Isn't that funny?
What?
And this will come back to, I think this will circle back at the end, but I remember like my first cycle class, I hated. And I grew up with a family who grew up doing like leading bike tours across the country. That's how my parents met.
Whoa.
So biking had always been in my life. I was potty trained in the back of a Burley while my parents biked from Washington State to Mexico. Like, I love biking and outdoor road biking, but being in an indoor cycle studio, like, it was uncomfortable. I didn't like it. And then I took a class in New York, I think a Soul Cycle class, mm-hmm. and kind of the same thing. It's interesting how, like, I think mindfulness movement can be one of the most therapeutic forms of mindfulness or meditation.
Yes.
And that was how that class felt. And I'd found a couple classes like that, but then when I moved back home, I just couldn't reconnect with it.
Mm-hmm.
And so when he said that, I'm like, oh man, but I trust him. Like, I trust him and I have full faith in everything that he stands behind. So he took me to Washington, got me certified in Empower, and started Cycle Bar. That was 4.5 years ago, and now I'm the lead trainer there, and that's my community, and I can't imagine a life without it.
How did that turn into Women's?
Yes, so I had a woman in my class, gosh, probably a couple of years ago, and she called me out saying that, you know, so often in your classes, you're talking about how, you know, reflection back in a year, do you want to be in the same place you are now? Like, mm-hmm. do you want to be doing the same thing? And how we're mm-hmm. always striving for personal growth.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, but you yourself, you know, a year ago, you're still doing the same thing. Mm. And that was, and it felt raw because it's still like New York took me a while. It was almost like a breakup,
yes,
like a relationship. And so it was raw where, you know, I kept thinking back, well, if I'd stayed in New York, I'd still be experiencing growth. Is it because I moved home? You know, it's
changing
just was,
the comfort zone.
Oh, totally. And I'd gotten very comfortable. Like I could predict how my day would go. And I loved like what I got to do. And then I met a couple people along the way who continue to bring up this idea of like, you know, you need to be out doing something with women. I was still involved in Girl Scouts, being on the board, but that wasn't quite where I wanted to be. And then I met another woman who was a writer with us. And she said, hey, I want to start up like a female empowerment group. I want to do it with you.
Ooh.
And so we started putting something together, and at the time she was moving and I was here, and we just couldn't quite get in sync with each other. So she went off to go do her own thing, and I continue with Women's Community. Mm-hmm. And the idea of the name, so Women's means, you know, a woman who is strong and she's confident within self, but she's also, you know, passionate about creating a better space for the women around her. And so as soon as I saw that definition, like there was not a doubt in my mind.
Yes.
And I remember looking up to make sure I could trademark it, and just shocked that like no one had taken it. There's little things like it, but yeah, so that's how it came to be. And just the name, I love it. I love it so much. And that's where I think too, like when you know, you know.
So tell me the Women's mission statement, because you guys, you ladies, you amazing people are doing so much. Mm. And there's a lot of different branches, I feel like.
There is. 2020 was a year that I think a lot of us can relate to in this element of identifying who we are and what we stand for.
Yes.
Right? One of my favorite quotes is, you know, stand for something or fall for anything.
Mm-hmm.
So originally we knew what our three pillars were: mindfulness, movement, community. And so we just started trying to get our feet wet in a bunch of different things. Started off with a lot of movement classes, yoga classes, meditation. And then during the pandemic, when we first went into lockdown, you know, you're kind of hitting that like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? And so then I came up with a series called Move, Connect, Reflect. And we started to bring women in from different businesses, started having people on to teach different classes, lead meditations, talk about different concepts and ideas, and doing live Q&As, and just tons of, it was a full-time job, which was great because I'm someone, I like to stay busy.
Yes.
And that's where I really started to identify, like so our mission is to empower women, to empower the communities around them. And that's when I realized like we're here to serve our community. So we have two events a year, Motivation Through Movement, which is coming up May 1st. We bring in movement leaders, speakers, skill builders, and then just create the opportunity for women to connect in a space that feels very supportive, non-judgmental, non-competitive. And then we have a retreat in the fall. So kind of the same idea, but expanded a little bit bigger. And then the rest of the year is committed to our community. So we listen to what our community's needs are and creating a space where women-owned businesses and startups and small businesses can promote their services and their ideas. So a couple examples are we had Inclusion in Action during February for Black History Month. And that was, I mean, I think since the Black Lives Matter movement, you know, our eyes have, you know, they've been needing to be open, but really as a community, I think we've been able to have our eyes open more simultaneously together to the need for progress for everybody. And so that was a month where it was really listening to the community, creating the space for the voices that needed to be heard. We started partnering up with Inclusive Idaho, and they also, Inclusive Idaho, Whitney, I don't know if you've had her.
I haven't met her.
She's amazing.
I sometimes will see her and I'll like smile and wave her, and she's like, she thinks I'm crazy, but I follow her page.
Yeah, she's so
inspired
great.
By her. When I went to the candlelight vigil, oh my gosh.
Amazing.
The emotion, the tension, I thought that she had done an amazing, incredible job and feat despite everything that was going on in this country, this state, and created such a peaceful experience. And the outpouring of people showing up for that and lifting up her voice so that we could hear what she had to say was she's amazing. I love her. I don't know her, but I love her.
I'll introduce you to, because I think so highly of her, but you know, and I don't think I've told her this yet, so I probably should have this conversation with her too. But really, she is another person. I think in a community, my mom taught me this, is that like it takes a village to raise a child. Mm-hmm. And I think it takes, you know, a whole village to really help empower within one another. And so there's been so many women along the way who have really helped us to have insight to what our purpose is. And it's amazing because it really has been a lot of me recognizing like I need to take a step back, you know, mm-hmm. And even with our board has grown tremendously. I mean, I say tremendously, we have 6 people on it, but it's from going from just me starting mm-hmm. Motivation Through Movement last year to now having a team and a team who's very diverse and they have different ideas and opinions. And it's just cool to sit back and be like, this is awesome. Like, this is working, and it's been a lot of work and a lot of tears and a lot of like, what the hell am I doing? Mm-hmm. Does this matter? But I feel like I'm finally in a place where like I can identify that this is where my energy should be going.
You talked about how your mom was like that powerful person for you. And my mom was a powerful person for me. I grew up with a single mom, and she did everything on her own. And she, she bought a house when she was a single mom, like in her early 20s by herself.
Amazing.
She put herself through grad school. She's owned multiple businesses. And it's almost like, who gives you the right? And I don't feel like my mom had strong women in her life. And you have had strong women in your life. And what gives you the right to like go and start these amazing communities? And how do you feel like you were so inspired and supported to actually put it to action?
Yeah. You know, that's a really good question. And that's a question where it's a point that I've had to sit with too, because we've had some feedback too, where it's like, here you are, you're a white privileged female. Mm. And that question, like, who do you have the right to say you empower everybody? And I go back to, again, in high school, giving my self-esteem workshops to girls. My goal as Miss Idaho, when I did win, was to travel the whole state of Idaho. And if you know about Idaho, North Idaho is almost a completely different state than South Idaho. And so we started going into schools where there was just a lot of marginalized groups, a lot of individuals who did not have access to resources, who came from single home parents, you know, who were shelterless. And at that time, knowing what I know now, I mean, I was very young and honestly did not have a lot of experience in that area. Knowing what I know now, though, and reflecting back on that, that's where I realize if you have access to those resources, it's selfish to not create a space where every woman can have the opportunity to have access to them. Oh, right?
Wow. Yes.
Yeah. And so, but it is removing yourself from the situation too and really listening, because just I can't assume that I know, you know, what every woman wants access to or what they want resource to. You really do have to listen and pay attention to, you know, right now, like we're doing a Sober Curious course. I would have never thought to have done it.
Yeah, I saw that. Isn't you guys that cool? are doing that. I love it. I'm so fascinated by it. I want to bring on my friend Karen. She started this thing called the Dry Diet, and I was obsessed. I'm like, that sounds amazing. Yeah. I think she like renamed a couple programs, and she has a Dry Diet program. And she's like, it's more than just a fad for January, dry January. She's
gosh.
This is a whole thing.
Exactly.
I'm fascinated by it.
And that's where like I practiced Sober Curious during the pandemic because I just had identified like alcohol in me. I just was not able to do it during that time. Mm-hmm. But we'd had people talking about it, and same thing with inclusion and action. I mean, that was a pretty loud message that was something our community needs to focus on.
Yes.
But I think if you can take that time to sit in silence and to just not react and to just listen, that's where as a community, and this is, you know, beyond just womeness, but as a community, we can identify what the needs are, not for just the majority, but again, for those marginalized groups.
Who do you look up to? Who are your mentors? Who inspires you to keep showing up for your community and giving back to your community?
Man, I feel really fortunate to be surrounded by such positive, strong female role models. And so I feel like I'd give you a huge list. But honestly, like, you're one of those women on that list.
Oh,
really,
my goodness.
You know? So I'll take a minute to kind of stroke your ego a little bit. But I think that, you know, you are who you surround yourself with. I don't think this. I know this. And so I try to be very intentional. And this year especially, again, last year, I feel like we should just write a book. Like, all of us have a chapter, or I don't know, we have to be a series, right? Mm-hmm. But I really thought about relationships last year. Mm-hmm. And I think we all recognize relationships that weren't serving us, relationships that we wanted to put more energy into. And so I've identified, like, my team that I work with is, I just wrote them an email this morning talking about just how in awe I am of them. And right now, you know, I think different seasons of my life, I'm empowered by different individuals. But right now, my team is a huge, huge contributor to, you know, what inspires me, because I want to make sure that how I'm showing up for myself is creating a better space for how I can show up for my team. And that includes my Cycle Bar team and then my WomenS team. Mm-hmm. So I think that those are the people who really, you know, you can talk like your role models, right? Big names.
Yeah.
But I think at the end of the day, the people who genuinely inspire you are the people who you're surrounding yourself with. So be really careful, like mindful of who you're surrounding yourself with.
Yeah, I agree with that. When Sally, the owner of Hollywood Market Yoga, she inspired this podcast for sure, because she created the environment that is Hollywood Market Yoga.
Yeah.
And I think she chose me to be her number one teammate, and she gave me free rein, and I basically looked to her lead. And I love that when people come to our studio, they're like, they say that they feel so comfortable here. They feel non-judgment here.
Totally.
At least I hope that they don't feel judgment. But and that's kind of how Sally led the team at Hollywood. And it's really just the people who make up our core teachers, mm-hmm. our core team. It's evolved into a yoga studio, a spa, a teacher training. We've got a retreat coming up next month.
So cool.
Like, it's just kind of cool to see how when you bring in people who mm-hmm. are believing in your vision, it can create a whole new thing.
Well, she made an excellent choice, because I would agree with everything you said. You know, coming onto a new team mm-hmm. Can be very intimidating. And mm-hmm. when I came onto the team, like, you were so welcoming. I was a little intimidated by you because you were such a great instructor, and I'm like, she's so well spoken. And but I would agree again, like, it trickles from the top, right? As leaders, mm-hmm. how we create the teams, and you guys have such great leaders at the top who create the environment for bringing on other instructors who mirror mm-hmm. that. Yeah, I totally agree with what you just said.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, I have to ask you, what have you overheard at yoga?
Oh my goodness. Okay, so I don't have any funny stories. Okay. But this story, I think this circles back to what we were talking about earlier, is that, you know, I remember when I first started, and there's poses that you love, right? Where you're like, gosh, I can't wait till we get to, like, rock stars, one of my favorite poses. It's just so freeing and liberating.
Wait, what's rock star?
Or wild thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, Rockstar. I forgot about that name.
Sometimes it depends on my day. If I'm feeling a little wild, I call it wild thing. If I'm feeling like, I have a suede jacket on, so I kind of feel like a rock star.
I love your jacket.
Thank
by the way.
But then you also have those poses where you're like, oh, I don't want to do this. Rabbit pose is that for me. Mm. It's so hard for me. I don't know why.
It depends on if you have a bun in your hair. I can't do it with a bun.
I always do buns.
It pisses me off. Yeah.
And it's a lot. And now I think it's just with how we are holding our devices, it's just that curvature in the spine. Yeah. Anyways, but I had an instructor though who, and you've probably heard this, I think in the yoga industry, we hear this a lot, but like the pose that you avoid is the pose that you need.
Yes.
Right. And in any other area, right, that I believe that whatever we avoid is really the space that we need to be leaning into. Oof. And that's been coming up a lot lately for me. I don't know if you feel it too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, when we start to feel a big change, it's like we're avoidance of change. But as humans, it's our innate ability to change, and we need to go through change. Mm-hmm. But that's something that has consistently stuck with me. Mm-hmm. Again, it's not a funny story, but...
No, it's something that you learn in yoga, and I think camel pose for me was that
totally.
Posture that I avoided for
Heart
a really
openers.
Long time. And I've been practicing yoga for a very long mm-hmm. time, and like I'm 15 plus years into my yoga journey, and I just now am open to... Actually, I went to Bali also. I went to Bali in 2019.
So
and
cool.
I was like, I was like, okay, I'm ready to get into heart openers. I had injured my back a few years ago. And then I was like, now I'm not even going to try heart openers. And now I've got this excellent excuse because I have a back injury, so I don't have to do it.
Yeah.
And my trainer got me to do a back bend that I didn't think I could do. Mm-hmm. And I realized that it was just me holding me back. It wasn't actually my back. It wasn't actually my body. And I was avoiding stuff with my heart. And I think those conversations that for me that I would avoid with people I was dating.
Yeah.
The conversations that you need to have, you need to hear. And I think when I was single and dating, I knew that if we had this conversation, we'd probably part ways. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't ready. And I know that if I do this heart opener, it's going to release some stuff and I'm not ready. And I think for me, I always use yoga as symbolism for my life. So when I started working on heart openers, I started really, truly healing my heart and started dating more intentionally. Mm. And I'm so glad that I did.
Yes, you seem so happy now. It's interesting because I can remember a couple years ago was, I can't remember if it was 2 years ago or 3 years ago that I left Hollywood, but everything's just a blur the last couple of years. But I remember you then, and I've always thought so highly of you, Christina.
You're the best.
But honestly, like, you're one of those humans who, like, as soon as you reached out, I'm like, an opportunity to get to hang out with you? Yes, please. But seeing you, you know, and even, like, I think social media, you're very organic on it. And I feel like what you see is what you get.
Yeah.
And so I love following people and who represent themselves that way. And I've seen this growth of you. And so I think sometimes we don't see this within ourselves, right? Because we see ourselves every day and we're sitting with our thoughts and going through the process and just going through the notions of life. But like seeing you to where you are now, you're just like, you radiate like love and joy. So I don't know, those heart openers are definitely working.
They're doing it for me. I have to thank you so much for coming on, thank you. Spending time with me. I admire what you do. I'm obsessed with your women's community.
Thank you so
much. I follow
you.
Is there anything you want to plug before I let you go? Where can people find you?
So you can find me Instagram, Genevieve_Nutting Howarth. And then Women's Community. I don't know when this will come out, but May 1st, we have our Motivation Through Movement, and that'll be at Jump. Mm-hmm. And I would invite anybody to come. We also have financial opportunities. So if you can't afford it, reach out to us because we want to make sure that this is accessible to every woman to attend.
Fantastic.
Yeah, thank you so much, Christina.
Thank you. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Leave me a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, and I want to hear from you. Please send me your overheard at yoga stories. Tell me about your yoga journey, what you love about your home studio, or the funny thing you overheard at yoga. Find me on Instagram at overheardat.yoga to submit. There are so many different styles of yoga and opinions about yoga, but the one thing I've seen in all my travels to different studios is yoga brings a community together. Namaste.